Hey, it's Johnny Jett. Welcome back to my podcast YouTube channel. If you're not a member, please subscribe. It's free. Also, my guest today is Kevin Coffey, who I've known for years, decades. Kevin and I have spoken at many travel conferences. You probably recognize him from TV. That's his son that just popped in. He used to do Oprah. I mean, you've done it all. CNN, Fox News. And now you have a website, kevincoffey.com. And you know, Kevin's real job was a, were you a sergeant or the LAPD?
I was a detective, a senior detective of Los Angeles Police Department for 35 years, yeah.
And you built up like the airport crimes division, correct?
Yeah, so years ago when I had your waistline and a full head of hair and I started the, age has got to both, right? I'm a little older than you. And I started the LAPD's LAX Airport Crimes Investigations Detail and specialized in investigating crimes committed against travelers at the airport and the hotels, car rental agencies. And that's how Oprah found me and put me on her show a bunch of times and launched my whole speaking career and did that for 25 years. Now I'm retired from LAPD and now I do travel risk consulting and do speaking at large corporations. They typically focus on the business side, but it impacts the leisure side as well. And that's where you and I kind of met up on these travel conferences and here we are today. So.
Right. So, I mean, you've seen it all. I mean, so what would you see at LAX a lot? Like what number one crime? People just pickpocketing or some serious stuff?
So, you know, that's the whole interesting thing there, Johnny. And you know me as, of course, my mantra, like you're Johnny Jett and I'm known as the scholar of thievery, right? That's my mantra and my name. But I always like to tell folks the number one issue that happens when you look at, if you look at crime, it's not really crime, it's just lost property. So a lot of times people just lose stuff. I've left stuff on airplanes and lost stuff, we all have. And then, so a lot of this stuff is people will sometimes say that it's been stolen, but they've actually misplaced it or lost it or something. And there's a confusion there. So I always like to put people at ease that it's really just mistakes that we make and traveler mishaps. But if you were to look at the crime side, probably the number one issue that happens usually at airport, it's just theft and nothing is, yes, violent crimes happen, very, very tiny percentage. We've seen some of these issues that have happened here in the United States on shootings at airports and in Florida, in complete evacuations. We've had it in our airport here in Los Angeles with things. And it's a very, very small percentage of these mishaps. But the number one thing is just going to be, if you're going to look at crime, it's going to be loss and theft of property. Is
right.
And that's so, not just the airports, the hotels and car rental agencies, pickpocketing. And that's, we take that whole trip down that memory lane on how you fall victim.
And have you ever been pickpocketed?
No, I've been attempted though. I can tell that story. And matter of fact, when my wife and I first got married and I spoke at a travel conference that we got sent over to Barcelona and we were speaking there for about 4 days. And that was it. Just like you, I learned from the pros about speaking in the travel industry. And so we're over there and, I kind of forget, what is the
Los Robles?
No. Well, that's the pickpocket capital of the world, right?
Exactly. I mean, every single person I've met has been pickpocketed there, except knock on wood.
I have about that. We're going to have to, we'll talk about that one day on how those numbers rise and different things, which could happen in the future as travel starts to unfold. Cause those pickpockets, they've been hungry for a long time, right? There's been no victims.
Right.
So people need to be able, that's a whole other story for us, but ended up, what's the large,
the Gaudi, the church, you mean?
Yes, in Barcelona.
It's a Gaudi, right?
Yes. Anyways, that's where it was. And I was wearing an anti-theft fanny pack. And you've seen me, I've talked about that years ago. A lot of people don't like fanny packs, but when you carry a camera, a small camera and stuff, you got to put it somewhere. And the anti-theft one is where they can't unzip it, right? And they can't unbuckle it from behind. And these two pickpockets, professional pickpockets, you know the types that we're talking about. I need to be sensitive there. We're sitting on a little tiny wall about 2 feet tall and committing one of the major faux pas that travelers should never do. You and I both know it. We tell people otherwise, but we all make mistakes. I was looking at a map, right? And you know, you always should look at a map inside a business or something so you don't draw attention. But I am the first one to sit here and say I make mistakes. And then, so we're looking at this map. So obviously professional pickpockets see that. They know you're a tourist and we look like a tourist. And they come up to us and they start pushing the fake flowers in my wife's face. Oh, buy these pretty flowers for the lady, right? And they keep getting right into her face. we just got married. My wife's pregnant. And so, and they're like a foot away from my wife. So I'm sitting right next to her on this little wall. So I go to stand up to push the pickpocket away from my wife because I can see the distraction is going to happen. And her purse, she's wearing an anti-theft purse with those special zipper locks.
Okay.
I go to stand up and to push her away. And as I'm doing that, these two pickpockets, one in front of her and one in front of me, all right, I'm pushing this one away. And all of a sudden, I start feeling a miss. And I don't know if you can tell by the camera, my hips are moving, right? It's like I'm dancing. And I'm going, but I'm pushing her away. I'm going, what the hell is going on? And I look down and the pickpocket who was in front of me is trying to unzip my fanny pack to get to my wallet. But I got the little zipper lock on it, so she can't. So she's tugging on it and pulling on the fanny pack. It was hilarious.
So what'd you do?
Oh, I pushed her away. And of course they started cussing at you and they laughed, but you know, you just learn these are the,
so you can't get them arrested.
No. There's that again, that's a whole other Oprah, as I like to say, with that, because they were young. And of course there's a whole legal system that's very different from ours in foreign countries. You can't arrest teenagers and children for pickpocketing, they just temporarily detain them. So a lot of the professional thieves are using their children to commit these crimes. And it's a whole other thing. But, you know, you and I both know, Johnny and I'm the first one to say this to you, even though I do this for a living, is that the chances of falling victim to crime is very, very low when you travel. There's this big blue marble. The majority of people in this world are honest, law-abiding. But there is a small percentage of thieves that wake up in the morning to go, who am I going to rip off today? Right. Make a life out of targeting travelers because they know we're easy marks and we usually carry items of value in our wallets, usually have a higher cash and things. So it's just trying to prepare ourselves to be cognizant of how they operate and what their MOs are in police terms and method of operandi. So you can counteract those. And that's kind of what I do in my trainings and stuff. And you've heard me speak on it in years, but again, we're all looking forward to resuming back to travel again. But, you know, we've got a lot of stuff. Like I mentioned, I just came back from Cabo on your birthday that just happened here. And even I made some mistakes on that when we just came back. And
so what were your mistakes?
So we went down to the Paradisus in Los Cabos, all-inclusive, loved the property, loved it there. However, you know, again, like I know you've been saying, and I've been telling my corporate clients when I've been speaking to them on these Zoom calls that are traveling internationally, a lot of us are rusty.
I'm rusty.
Honey, I was rusty. I was rusty. I came back, 3 days ago, and I was rusty, and I made some mistakes. So, you know, as going forward internationally, as you've seen, have you flown internationally yet?
Not,
or just
not
domestic?
Yet.
You're just doing domestic. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, this is our Bible now, right? We can't afford to lose this. This is a whole other call for you and I about the importance on this and how you protect it when you travel. But this is our life
right
when we're going internationally, even almost domestically today. So there's all of these documents that you're going to have to go into your airline app and start uploading. So I'm a big United guy. They treated me well, and they've got their Ready Travel Center. And I loved it. And put my first time into it. And then you have to upload a lot of documents. And as you upload the documents, you have to wait for someone to approve them. So, you know, that was my first time doing it. And you kind of wonder, well, how long is that going to take, right? It just says someone will let you know that it's been approved. Heck, they got back to me in like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And I just had to recheck the app and it said I've been approved for each different stage. So you have to just know to keep track of those right if you hadn't done it, to make sure each one of the steps in the documents are accepted. We get down to the next phase of it, and that was going to be parking. I'd forgotten all about this. You and I both know these airlines are full with leisure travelers, not business travelers. So as I usually go into my own ways on getting parking at the airport, my two main parking lots were full, weren't even accepting reservations.
At LAX.
At LAX, yeah, yeah. They would. And now I have to admit, I shouldn't say that. They probably were, but they were taking it at full pop.
I see.
And I'm always looking for the discount, right?
I gotcha.
So when I go to that, you know, cheapairportparking.com and always looking for the cheaper yep ones and stuff, they were all taken up. So I had to revert back to some of my old standbys and use some frequent flyer points at the parking spot that I do. But just know that some of your places might not have availability or you have to pay that higher rate of using coupons. So that was one that hit me.
Yeah, but what's your mistake? Your mistake wasn't at the parking lot.
Well, it was, because I should have booked it and reserved my spot.
I see. Well, that wasn't like a, that's not a safety mistake though.
No, you're right. It wasn't, but it
was. Okay, I thought you were saying you're going to get pit pot. I was like, what?
Oh, no. These were just the little things.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
Yeah. As far as that, it cost me more money. It cost me about $8 more a day, right? Because I didn't get my discount. So it adds up over a week.
I gotcha.
You know, we get down into Mexico. You know, another interesting thing just to share for travelers. You remember when you went internationally, they usually gave you the country arrival form that they had to fill out in the airplane.
Yep.
Make sure if you're sitting in that back of that plane, you might want to get that paper when you board, because they had run out in the back of the plane and they said, hey, we have to wait for some people to bring when we arrive.
That's a good tip. And bring your own pen too, because no one wants to share anymore.
Nobody has their pens, right? And, you know, I'll even stick with this, is that as we then landed and then you start going through the process, filling out these new forms, some of the forms you have to fill out online. You really have to do your due diligence and do your detective work, so you're better prepared, so you're not waiting in all these other lines filling out some of these forms. One of the big things, and you know me, I've spoken about this, Johnny, is that, you know, I call it mistake-based travel when I do my training for my corporate travelers, and the same thing for leisure. You have to prepare for things to go wrong. You have to. You have to prepare that your phone is going to die, or it's going to get lost, or it's going to get stolen. And if that happens on the airplane, at the airport before you leave, you're in a world of hurt, because that's all of your documentation.
Right.
So let's just look at the issue. If your phone dies, that happens, right? So everyone should be making a folder that's on the front of their main screen, and it has copies and photographs of all your important documents that you need. Because as you're going through these processes now, you're constantly have to have your passport numbers and all these things. And you and I have both seen this. You're seeing all these people. I usually have my second passport, my old one here. They're pulling passports out. I saw a person, they were filling out the passports for five of their kids. Yeah. So here's the whole family. And I look on the ground and one of their passports had dropped on the ground. But here's this mom and dad trying to wrangle these five kids and themselves. And they lost track of a passport. So I said, sir, your passport is on the ground. He said, oh my God. So by having all these photographs, you don't have to keep pulling your passports out, and they can stay locked in your carry-on bag and not get a chance.
Just so you, when you're filling out the forms, you can look at the photograph. I do.
Yeah, I do that. So that I saw that, and you see passports all over the place, people pulling them out, and you know that passport is like gold. You can't afford to be losing
it. So on the black market, it's worth like $5,000 in some places.
Oh my God! Yeah. And now that's a whole other thing with identity theft and traveling and stuff. People have to be concerned about, even on the traveling part. But so that's a huge thing to be concerned about. You know, got through the airport, got down there. Another little interesting tip was we get to the hotel, and a lot of hotels internationally, again, doing your research, a lot of them are paying for the COVID test if you stay for X amount of days.
Right.
So my property at the Paradisus was, don't quote me, we were there for 5 days, and I think it was either 3 or 4 days, they pay for the free COVID test. So do your research on it, so you don't have to go anywhere, which is great. We met people and they were having to go to a clinic and get the shots or get the test. Doing it at the hotel is just great.
So people who don't know that, anyone coming to America, if you're American or vaccinated or not, you have to have a negative COVID test 3 days before you arrive.
Yeah. And you have to plan for that then, right? And that's where going to a hotel that has it, you know, is just a godsend. So we went up to it. It was a concierge lounge, and, you know, they made an appointment for us. And again, you have to make sure your batteries are always charged. And this is another thing about the importance on that, because everything goes by email.
Right.
And they email you, say your appointment is tomorrow at 11:30. So if you don't have your phone, you lost it, you're kind of in a world hurt. You have to have those backup plans for that. So we got that. Go there, take the test. Quick, easy, done, 5 minutes. However, I have my spam filters are set very high, just like you do, because we have a business that we're running.
Right.
And so it was about 10 hours later, the results came back of my negative COVID test, but guess where it went?
Your spam, and you didn't see
my spam folder. And Johnny, I'm rusty. I didn't check it. It's an extra folder on my phone I have to look at for spam. I don't do that often. And I was going, where's my results? Start to get my police hat on and getting a little concerned here. And that's where my wife is the better half. And she says, hold on, honey, redundancy. Let's take a look here. I got it on mine. She had an Apple, a little different spam filter. So it's just knowing to keep track of that stuff. And then if it doesn't come in, and then the other thing is that at the airport, we had run into some people that was interesting, and they came back positive for COVID. Not at our hotel. They were staying at a different hotel down in Cabo by the marina. And their hotel basically wouldn't let them back in.
Wow. That's one of the reasons why I haven't traveled. There's a number of reasons. If you test positive, you know, you're most likely going to be on the hook for paying for quarantine. Some places will not let you in. They're definitely not going to let you in America and on the airplane to get to America.
Well, and that's where working with your hotel provider, because what had happened is they had checked out of the hotel. They did everything. And then they got the test someplace else. So, excuse me.
So they couldn't get back in, huh?
Well, they just had to go get another hotel. They couldn't get back to their hotel, right? Because they had checked out because they didn't take care of this stuff prior to and do it all under one umbrella. Because like our hotel, we researched and found out, hey, if you test positive, they have a special room they put you in. There is no issue. They, matter of fact, they even pay for the hotel room for 10 days.
I heard that from a lot of
you don't have to pay anything if you test COVID. And I've got my shot and we weren't worried about that, but you just have to prepare for these things.
Right.
There were a lot of those little interesting things.
Plus, there's false positives, I hear often.
Say again?
There's false positives, I hear often.
Yes. No, and that's why they have you come back and retest and do these. So
do they charge you for the second test, too, if you...
No, at our hotel, they didn't, right?
I see. Okay.
That's when I wanted to make sure that it was turnkey.
Gotcha.
I wanted the least amount of problems possible.
Because that could be a scam, too, where hotels are just keep charging you. Oh, you're testing positive. You got to come back.
And this is where, you know, Johnny, you and I have talked about this, and a lot of people like doing things on their own, and we get it, and there are things we do on our own, but now this is sometimes where travel professionals and agents come into play to help you navigate through this on international. Right? This is why I'll pay a little more and go to properties and locations that are kind of take care of all this stuff for me, because I don't need these hitches in the get-along.
For sure.
Especially right now. And researching this and selecting this and knowing, doing those, my training, you haven't been to one of my courses in a while. I call it what if, and I bring up all these what if scenarios. What if this, what if that? And many folks don't. And that's where it also comes down to travel insurance. And you and I have talked about that. Majority of travelers don't get travel insurance. They think that their insurance covers them down there. Some policies do, but you have to pay everything up front.
You got to read the fine print.
Yes, you do. And knowing about COVID protection, and I always get my insurance when I go international. I think you do a yearly policy?
Yeah, I do.
You do.
I was a brand ambassador for Allianz, full disclosure. Yeah, yeah. I am not right now, but
they're a good company, by the way. Not that you work, but they are.
I still have them. So
you have a yearly policy. As a matter of fact, I haven't because I'm not doing that much international, but I need to look at it now because things are heating up for us. In international travel, so I'm probably going to have to do that, but really taking a look at that. Yeah.
So when people are going to Europe, let's say, or Mexico, what do they have to be careful for most? I mean, like we talked about, you know, for the most part, I would say 97 or 98% of the people in the world are good. There's just a few percent that are bad, and they get most of the headlines.
I wouldn't say it's even higher than that, right? Yeah.
And I was terrified. My first trip overseas, I was terrified. You know, you hear the news, you watch the news, and they scare the crap out of you. But you know what? But when I traveled overseas, I actually felt safer there than I did at home, and it's still that way. And knock on wood, I have never had anything stolen from me, and I've never been mugged or anything like that. And I've traveled all over the world.
Yeah.
So just, you know, I don't want to scare people. Just let you know that you just got to keep your guard up. And I am almost always keep my guard up. I'm always looking around and aware of things. I learned a lot of tricks from you.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I asked you to come on. I just want other people to be aware. And obviously, you know, I could make a mistake and I get distracted these days too. And
with your children, right? So
especially with the children.
And that's a whole other Oprah, right? And that's where, you know, when I've interviewed thieves and people I put in prison and talked about that, how do they select certain people over others, right?
So how do they do it?
And a lot of it, they're looking for people that are naturally distracted. And I don't know if you recall back back in the day when I was doing a lot of the TV stuff, I would go on. I was one of the first people, I think the first one in the country ever to do this. I did it on 2020, ABC's 2020. I actually went into the airport with hidden cameras and I actually ripped off travelers. It had never been done before on television. There was a lot of conversation with attorneys about that. And I said, yeah, but there's no intent to permanently deprive. So there's no crime being committed because we were given it right back as far as that. But that was that whole thing. And you showed, it actually showed how easy it was with people that are naturally distracted. So as you, because you're in the business and a lot of other people are, your number one tip is to have risk awareness and just, and even that's probably too technical, just having general awareness what's going on around you and being aware of key indicators that something could be going on. Anytime someone goes up and approaches you and starts asking you questions, those are sometimes ways of people getting you to turn your attention away from your carry-on bag next to you, when you're at the airport. And know that that carry-on bag is the holy grail to pickpockets and thieves, right? Because it has, again,
everything:
passports, your wallets, your cell phones, medicine, it has your jewelry. So it's just trying to keep your awareness level up. You don't have to walk around and go, oh my God, and just on head in a swivel. You're just casually being aware and knowing for areas of engagement that might happen and go, this is interesting. A lot of times they'll prey on your emotions, right? The videos I show where they come up and they'll ask you questions. I'm lost. Can you tell me how to get here? And of course, we're naturally want to help other people like we've turned to others and asked. But you want to take a look at the situation. Where's my property? Where is that? Is my wallet in my back pocket? These are all other conversations we can have in the future about which pockets they go after and purses and how that is. But you know, I want to get back because I want to reemphasize, like you said, most people don't fall victim to these crimes, but we all know someone that has fallen victim to theft while traveling. We all do. When I do the audiences, I'll ask just like you, how many people have actually fallen victim to a loss or theft? Because sometimes you think it's lost, but it's stolen, or you think it's stolen, it was actually lost. And I'll get sometimes probably 20 to 30% of the audience will raise a hand.
They're usually stolen or lost.
Well, no, either or, right? Because you don't know, right? Because you just look down, your stuff's gone. But like me, I've left something behind. So, but then when I ask the same question, how many people know somebody? All the hands go up, right? But again, most people are honest. So, but knowing that, the biggest issue that travelers have to be thinking about is the preparation and doing the what if conversation. Like I mentioned, what if I come back with a positive COVID test? What is that going to look like? How will the hotel support me? What would I do if an emergency were to happen? The number one issue that happens to travelers, it's not the loss or theft of property. You and I know what this is. I know it's just illness. People just get sick, right? Problems happen. It happens at home. It happens internationally. So what happens when you get an appendicitis when you're overseas?
Right.
What does that look like? How are you going to deal with your insurance company? And I could tell you horror stories. I know you can too, because there's a difference between primary insurance and secondary insurance. And you have to pay all the funds sometimes up front, depending on where you are and what level of insurance you have at home. A lot of people don't have access to 10 to 20 grand sometimes to be able to front load the hospital internationally, which they sometimes require because they
especially
know.
Mexico too. I've heard horror stories about that in Mexico.
Yeah, but in other parts of the world, it happens too. If they don't have modernized, socialized medicine, you know, parts of Germany and France and Canada, where they'll just take care of anybody like we kind of do here in the United States. Other countries go, wait a minute, if we provide this service, you're going to skate and not pay that bill. So they want that money up front.
Right.
These are those what if situations that's really what I call them, you know, traveler mishaps, right? Being able to, what happens when you lose your license? What happens when you lose your phone?
Right.
What happens when you lose your passport? I'll do this other tip. I shared this probably, oh God, COVID has just put our timing so differently today. I probably did this 4 years ago at a site conference, Society for Incentive Travel. And I always tell this tip, I should have been better prepared, brought my passport. In the inside of the passport, I always ask people, do you know what's on page 3, right? And then people go, look at me, what's page 3? I should go get it. I know it's in my say, it's all right. That is the in case of emergency contact page. And then no one ever fills that out. It's one of the most unused pages, but I have a piece of paper that I have taped into the front of my passport that I can easily remove and change it. And it basically says, and it says it on my cover in case of emergency, and it has this piece of paper. And if somebody finds your passport, or if you become involved and you're a single traveler and a medical emergency happens to you and you're unconscious, which happens, you've heard some of my stories I've talked about where people in traffic accidents and they're unconscious, they can't speak. One of the first things we do in law enforcement is we go through your wallet, right? Who is this person? And we try to find out how to get a hold of somebody. Well, when this happens internationally, how does that happen, right? So they look at your passport, and at least in my passport has all these directions, whoever finds your passport, on who to call, what to do. They can't get into your phone because it's password protected,
right?
For your ICE contact and stuff. So, you know, they look at your passport and I tell you to do this. And so this lady, and I told this to this conference 4 years ago, I saw her about right before COVID. And she said, Kevin, I listened to you speak and I went and did this. And she said, I ended up traveling and I was actually going from Chicago to Chicago O'Hare on the train. And I was with my husband. We get to the airport and then all of a sudden we go to get my passports and my passport's missing. She says, where did I have it? She says, I was looking at it in the train. You know, yeah, sometimes we're second guessing ourselves when we're in transit. We go, okay, do I have this? Do I have that? She said, I remember taking it out of my carry-on bag. And that's where Las Plessas saw it. Her phone goes off in the airport and it's somebody calling her. She says, I'm on the train. I found your passport. I opened it up and it said to call this number.
Wow. That's
great. She says, oh my God. Well, they were there. They were there like 3 hours prior for an international trip, going to the lounge and stuff. They were able to get hooked up and she was able to get the passport and continue their trip. So these are these little mishaps that sometimes, again, it wasn't stolen. It was just lost. I mean, accidents happen, but having these ideas in place to help navigate through life incidents, you know, they're just really valuable.
Well, that's a brilliant tip. And actually that was worth this whole interview because, you know, I was in Estonia with my wife.
Oh, great place. I love that.
We were on a bike tour and she foolishly put her passport in her back pocket and it fell out on the bike tour and we were on a cruise. We get back, she realizes it's gone and she had to go try and find it. We all looked for it, couldn't find it. We get out, we go to the cruise and we tell them that we know she lost her passport. Well, anyway, after like an hour, the captain says, you know, I'm sorry, we can't board you.
Yes. I remember
not
that
allowed to be boarded. We will be fined like $1 million or $100,000 if the next port finds out that we have someone without a passport. So, I mean, literally freaking out. She was going to have to, she had to go to the Canadian embassy. She's Canadian. And they said, listen, we'll call the police department, see if they found anything. If not, I can issue an emergency passport and you're going to have to go buy a ticket for the next flight home and you're going to pay for it. It was like $2,200 coach. And that's it. You can just fly to Canada and get a new passport. That just threw a whole wrench in our whole travel plans. And before she canceled it, she goes, let me call the police station one more time. And honestly, it makes me want to cry because so she goes, there's got to be a guardian angel. And her father just died and said that someone just returned your passport. And we ran down there, grabbed it and made the cruise. But if she had that piece of paper in there, like you're saying, we would have got a phone call and none of that would have happened because some, you know, nice man found it. Anyway, my wife wrote a story about it, Huffington Post. And the daughter read it and contacted Natalie. You know, they didn't want anything. It wasn't like someone said, oh.
Yeah.
She's like, and she actually saw it. And anyway, there's some really good people out there. But that is such a great tip that I'm going to, right when I get off the phone with you or this Zoom, I'm going to write in that piece of paper and do that because I've never done that.
Well, there's five more tips. I do a whole half hour conversation on passports just for international travelers on the business side, right? Because that impacts them. So we'll talk more about that, but that you've got that one. Here's what I want you to do is, and it's been a long time and I forgot about that story because you've spoken about it before. Did you ever do a video on that?
Not a video, but definitely
a posting. It was a posting, right?
Yeah.
try to dig that up and put it in the notes for the YouTube channel for your show notes, and maybe that Huffington Post article. Let's take a look at that again. And because this is very valid today as it was when it happened to you guys. And, you know, I just want to recapture for those listening here, because hopefully they heard that from you. And when I tell people this, a lot of times they don't want to believe these things that I share with them. And same thing with you. They go, how can that be? You lose your passport, they will not let you board that cruise ship. Right?
Yeah.
That's what they told you. And it's just, these are these things you have to know about. And then here's the odd part. If your passport agency is in a different city from where your port is, and we were in Estonia, we went to, then from there we went to St. Petersburg. We did a couple of days in St. Petersburg and did that. You have to then navigate to that other city in that country to where that passport agent, that embassy is.
Right.
And these can really put, like you talked, a wrench
in it there. So it just ruins your whole trip. And I think it depends on the country that you're going to, because the next country we were going to Poland. So Poland said they would not allow anyone.
I'm
not sure if it's every country, but you don't want to take that chance.
Correct. You have to look into it and find out.
And she had her old passport with her.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like she didn't have proof of identification, but they said, sorry, it's not valid.
Oh, see, and I see these tips, and these are, again, you and I could talk for hours on this stuff, right?
Right.
And traveling with a secondary identification, to have that what-if scenario when you lose your wallet, what do you have to prove who you are? And you and I have both spoken about this, even going through TSA when you don't have your ID, because there's ways to navigate through that system. Yep. Again, you just have to know it.
And one reason why I use Clear, too, because you don't need to take out your ID.
I love Clear. I went through there. Matter of fact, they just sent me the 5 free passes to give to my friends there. And, you know, when we went through the airport and you've seen this too, these airports are getting busy.
Definitely.
When I went through LAX, where, you know, you and I are here in LA, I didn't have a problem and everything got through and I've cleared, but my family, they had to go through the regular line. I went through Clear. I got through there in 2 minutes right away. And boy, the way they treated me was like they hadn't seen me for 5 years. I loved it. but I got to tell you though, we got down into Mexico. That place is hopping. Airport was packed.
I hear.
And there was just a lot of people. It's interesting, not a lot of social distancing. You saw it more here in the States. I did a little bit, even going in the jetway on the airplane, right, as far as that. But once you hit there, you know, people are like sardines. And, you know, the good thing about this is the majority of all these people were all, I shouldn't say that because I knew what we are, but almost everyone we talked to is they have been vaccinated that went down there.
Right.
As far as that. So you're going to be with that. But, you know, it's just interesting. So you gotta understand, you know, just these dynamics when you go internationally and what that looks like. And, you know, it's a fun time, right? We're seeing travel start to come back.
It's a roaring 20s.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I know you're an American guy, right?
Yes. I fly them all, but I have the highest elite status on American.
Yeah, I got that. And I got the same thing. I'm on 1K with United, right? And the stuff that we're getting just, and even regular travelers trying to get people back in the saddle again and to provide help to us all. I mean, all the airlines are really doing a darn good job to help navigate this system. And now we're going through this whole health passport issue on what that's looking like. We're seeing it in Europe. They're making the most forward progress on that. How is that going to look like here in the States? So we have a lot of
work to do
in front of us, right?
Yeah. I would like to see that happen so we can, you know, have the fast track. The easy pass.
One product for the United States, not just individual state products. I mean, boy, and you've seen some of these issues here with Hawaii, right? What's going on in Kauai, how they're limiting the amount of travel because they don't have enough ventilators, right? And they're going, hey, if we get a COVID outbreak, so even on the Hawaiian Islands are even different between each other.
Totally. Although I think they just announced yesterday that they're going to open up inner island.
Right, right, right.
So things are always changing. So, I mean, honestly, they're changing by the week, the day, the hour. It's incredible. So you really got to keep up to date.
Yes. And you got to keep your sense of humor, right? As even as we navigated, there are certain things that didn't happen for us. You know, some of these restaurants, when we went off the reservation and even though it was an all-inclusive resort and we loved it, we still wanted to go and see a little bit of town, went to San Jose and did that. And, you know, some of these properties are still starting or the outside restaurants trying to open up and, you know, service a little bit slower, trying to get employees back. So there's some hitches in the get along. You just have to deal with it. And, everybody was extremely, you know, apologetic. We're sorry this didn't happen or that didn't. This is just life. You just got to look at it and go, that's okay, right? Yep. We'll get through it and have a good sense of humor and smile a lot. And it's amazing what happens when you smile. Just like you and Johnny, I got to tell you, and I've always been always cautious when someone says they're an expert in anything, right? I'm an expert in learning.
Me too. I love that.
I had this mantra when I was at LAPD with the detectives in my squad. And I always told them, I said, every day you got to learn something and every day you got to teach something, right? And you got to treat people well and treat them with respect. And when you do these things and you learn from others, we're constantly learning, it helps out. And you've spoken about this in the past, and I think this is probably time for you to recirculate and do a new video on how you treat people in the travel industry, especially flight attendants. You always bring the chocolate. It's always been your mantra. I started doing that, and it was amazing. Even though, you know, I'm fortunate in my spot when I can get upgraded, but even when I don't, I treat those folks in the back the same exact way, right? You treat the janitor the same way as the CEO, right? And
that's how I was taught.
Little things to people, it's amazing how they treat you. And they're just, they love it. They go, thank you so much for, and we know this is a difficult time. Thank you for giving me that respect. And they just love that. And I learned that from you, Johnny.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No. And it is true, right? We have to treat these people.
You do.
In the hospitality travel industry, it's just like me and police work, right? It's a difficult job today, and everyone's demanding, and understandably so, in different areas. You pay for certain service, you want that. When you don't get it, you're going, what am I paying for? But the industry, hospitality and the people industry is difficult. And the more we start paying respect to these people and trying to help them through this, a lot of these issues aren't their individual fault.
For sure.
It's something else that they have no control over. It benefits them.
One of the things I do is when I see a housekeeper or if there's a driver that's driving slow in front of me and it's driving me crazy, I just pretend that this person's my mother.
Yes. Oh my God.
And you know what? And it just said, listen, my mom was a slow driver. I wouldn't want some dude beeping the horn at him. So I just take a breath. Or a housekeeper. My mom wasn't a housekeeper, fortunately, but if she was, I'd want someone to give her a good tip and give her respect, most importantly.
So.
I think that's what, I think everyone just needs to take a step back, especially these days. There's a lot of anxiety and just nervousness for traveling and reentry. I've had it. I still have it. But, you know, it's baby steps, like Bill Murray said in What About Bob? I just take baby steps. But listen, we're running out of time. I got to go. I'm going to have you come back, and we're going to talk some more safety tips.
Yeah.
With Kevin Coffee.
Absolutely.
So people can find you at kevincoffee.com. It's COFFEY.
Thanks, Johnny, for that. I got some videos on there on stuff I've been on TV. And as far as that, I learned a lot from you. I appreciate the time and look forward to kind of doing a couple of these more with you. And I love you on Leo Laporte, right? You just do. Talk about that. You do a great job in a service with him. But you always have, Johnny. I miss seeing you on the stage. Hopefully we're going to be able to get on some travel stages in the
New York City. I hope so. Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Perfect. Cheers, buddy.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend to you and your family.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.